start by recognizing that your personality is social anxiety. This is you. This is the first most important step that you can take. This concept of the real me is one of the most damaging concepts, because it implies, I want y'all to think about this, it implies that the perfect product is there. I just need to get to it. I need to get rid of all this stuff. But there's the perfect me. The perfect me exists. If you're socially anxious, what happens is we make ourselves small, and then we project their dislike of us to make ourselves smaller, and then we try to disappear, and then we end up where our real self doesn't show up. This is real self too. Do you ever feel social anxiety has killed your personality? At my core, I'm witty and goofy, and it's my favorite thing about myself. My social anxiety has gotten so severe, I feel like I've lost all my personality. At work, I can hardly think of anything to say and will often be quiet for hours while all my colleagues chat with each other. When I do talk, my voice gets shaky and no one listens to me. I can never think of a single joke during the conversation when I was once so witty. And I feel like my colleagues think I'm the most monotone, boring person on earth. And it makes me so sad. Only my mom and sister know my funny side. Can anyone relate? In the early days of my psychiatric training, we used something called the 5-axis system to diagnose people. Axis 1 was disorders that happen to you. Axis 2 is personality disorders. The way you are is messed up. So I want y'all to understand the difference between these two things. So depending on how I was raised, I can develop a personality, right? So this is the way I am. It is not something that happens to me. So if I have a narcissistic personality disorder, I have an insecurity that is baked in. It's not something that happens to me. So I have an insecurity. I think I'm pathetic. I think I'm a loser. And so I have this narcissistic defense where if anyone points out that I'm a loser, I'm going to tell them you're wrong and I'm going to get them to stop. I want to win awards. I want everyone to show me how great I am because I don't feel good on the inside. And early on in my psychiatric training, they explained to me that this is different from depression. Depression is when you have a normal personality structure. And when someone has major depressive disorder, there is a change. So this is the normal way that they are, but then they change and then they have a sense of negative self-attitude. That's the technical term for it. They feel like they're pathetic, they're losers, they just have a negative attitude towards themselves. It can take all kinds of different shapes and sizes. The key thing is they think negatively about themselves. And the whole point of major depressive disorder is that it fluctuates. Here's your real personality, and the depression is layered on top. And when it's active, you become a different person. You don't become a different person. Your mind alters its functioning. You're still the same person. And as we've learned more and more about psychiatry, we've started to realize that these distinctions are somewhat artificial. There's avoidant personality disorder, there's social anxiety disorder. The overlap between them is pretty big. And so in the most recent version of diagnostics, we've gotten rid of this axial system. We've said it's all basically one bucket. So here's the question that I have for you. You exist, and there's a funny and witty version of you. And then you go to work, and there's a quiet, monotone, and terrified version of you. Why do you assume that the witty version of you is the real you, and the socially anxious version of you is not the real you? Why isn't it that the socially anxious version is the real you, and the overly relaxed version of you is the fake you? Where do we get this idea that there is a real us and a not real us? This is the real me. Oh, but I just stopped being the real me over here. So this is the really nutty thing. So there's a lot of science that sort of supports this, right? This idea that this is the real me and this is not the real me. And if we look at things like trauma responses, if we look at things like, you know, serotonin imbalances or whatever, so we can look at like social anxiety and what happens in social anxiety, and I want to be technical here, okay? So I enter a particular environment. There are certain stimuli from that environment. I go to work. There are coworkers. I see coworkers. When there is a particular stimulus, it triggers a reaction. So that reaction is I start to think about what I'm saying. I overanalyze what I'm saying. It triggers certain changes in my brain, not changes in my brain, activations in my brain where I start to see ambiguous stimuli. So I walk past someone and they don't say hi. So this is an ambiguous stimulus. Maybe they dislike me. Maybe they like me. Maybe they're occupied. Maybe they're thinking about what they need to get from the grocery store on the way home. Maybe they have a song stuck in their head that they're trying to get stuck out, get out of their head. But we take an ambiguous stimuli and our brain interprets it in a negative way. And then we have certain behavioral manifestations, not just what's on the inside, but then that manifests with monotone. I'm not going to talk. And we say, this is not the real me. This is the activation of our sympathetic nervous system, fight, flight, freeze. This is the survival mechanism of our brain and our body. When you're being chased by a tiger, are you the real you? Are you witty? Are you funny? When you are fighting for your life, when you get mugged and someone's attacking you with a knife, are you the real you? Or is that a fake you? Now, pathology, illness, is in psychiatry, is when we say, okay, we don't like this part of us. That's fair enough. If you don't like it, it's interfering with your goals. That's totally fine. Like, I understand that that needs to be fixed. It needs to be changed. But that doesn't mean it isn't you. Social anxiety is your personality. And this is one of the hardest things to understand because we don't like to think this way. But this is actually, it's a revolutionary way if you're trying to conquer your social anxiety. And this is where we look at some of these things like radical acceptance, literally evidence-based stuff. Start by recognizing that your personality is social anxiety. This is you. This is the first most important step that you can take. And what I mean by this is the reason I laid it out that way is because this is like a technical thing. But about personality. This is what personality is. So let's define what personality is. We're not saying we're not going to change it. We're not saying you can't change it because you can change your personality, which is absurd. I don't know. This is what I mean. It's like there's the real me and then there's the false me. And I want to be the real me and I don't want to be the false me. How about instead we say this is the real you and we can shape it in this way. This concept of the real me is one of the most damaging concepts because it implies, I want y'all to think about this, it implies that the perfect product is there. I just need to get to it. I need to get rid of all this stuff. But there's the perfect me. The perfect me exists. I'm so witty. I'm so funny. That's the perfect me. I want to get rid of this fucker and I just want to be that guy. That's the real me. This is the false me. And if you look at studies on radical acceptance and dialectical behavioral therapy, you begin to realize that the moment that you start to believe there is a fantastical perfect version of yourself, you open yourself up to all kinds of problems, like addictions. Oh my God, dude, I'm not addicted to marijuana. I just get to be me when I get high. I get to live life the way that everybody else gets to live life. I get to be my authentic self when I'm high as a kite. It's the real me that comes out. Not the part that's socially anxious. That's not the real me. I get disinhibited. The true, the deeper real me gets to come out. And all this noise on the top isn't the right me. I love that idea, man. That sounds so beautiful. Turns out it's wrong. Hey, y'all. If you're interested in applying some of the principles that we share to actually create change in your life, check out Dr. K's Guide to Mental Health.
There are actually two sources for anxiety. One is cognitive and one is physiologic. For the majority of people, reassurance becomes something that you become dependent on. You're not really dealing with the root of the anxiety, and it sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where the more socially anxious you become, the more awkward you appear, and then it kind of becomes this vicious cycle.
So check out the link in the bio and start your journey today. Let's understand what personality is. I'm not saying we're not going to change. I'm not saying you can't be witty and funny. What I'm saying is there's a different way to get there. Remove the delusion that there's a real you and that there's a false you. Instead, accept that all of this is you and all of this can be worked on. Be clear there, okay? Just because I'm arguing against the model does not mean that I don't agree with the goal. Agree with the goal. We just have to understand how it actually works in order to help you get there. Personality is three things: the way you perceive the world around you, the way you internally react, and the way that you interact with the world. That's literally what personality is: perceptions, reactions, interactions. So if I take two people with different personalities, the whole point of personality is in the exact same situation, these two people will behave in different ways. I take two human beings who both get a B on a test. The reality of their situation is the same. They both have a B. The way they perceive that B is different. The way that they react to that B is different. The way that they change their behavior is different. One person says, I got a B, thank God. Another says, I got a B, oh shit. The reality is the same. The way we perceive the world around us, the way that that perception evokes reactions, relief, and then the behavior. I'm going to study exactly as much as I did for this test. Oh my God, I didn't study nearly enough. The reality is the same. The human being, the personality determines the way that we react to our circumstances. So let's start with the understanding of the whole reason, and this is like literally what we do in treatment, right? We take people with social anxiety and we help them rewire. So when you are at home and your mom or sister walks by you and doesn't say hi to you, how do you perceive that information? When you're at work and someone walks by you and doesn't say hi to you, how do you perceive that information? What is your internal reaction when your mom or your sister expresses dissatisfaction with your work product? Hey, this pie is a little bit burnt. How do you react? Oh, my bad. I'll do better next time. Let me try to focus on that, because your reaction is based on this idea that they love you and you know that they love you. But when you receive feedback, constructive feedback about your work product at work, what is your reaction? Oh my God, this person thinks I'm terrible. So here's the key thing to understand. And there are personality disorders and social anxiety. I think there's some good evidence to suggest that these two things are separate, right? That there is a social anxiety disorder. There's an avoidant personality disorder. Those two things are not the same. They have different diagnostic criteria. What I'm talking about is not the diagnosis and treatment of a psychiatric illness. What I'm talking about is this perception that there's the real you and there's the flawed you. And you're trying to be the real you all the time. What you need to realize is they're all you. What you need to realize is that even in your social situation, your brain has been programmed and activates a different script. It's not that one is you and one is not you. It is the scripts that your brain is activating. They're all you. Social anxiety is your personality. Is that a problem? Absolutely. But here's the key thing. Everyone thinks personality is static. And this is important to understand. If we think we have a perfect version and we go hunting for it all the time, that is different from understanding that we are wired a particular way and we need to change our wiring. Right? One is something that requires wiring and effort. The other is something that requires hunting. How do I bring this finished product out of me? And this is what I've seen as both a coach and a clinician. The wiring way seems to work better. Now, there's avenues to use the hunting way, which we can talk about if you guys want. But generally speaking, I think accept that social anxiety is the way you are. This is part of your personality. Your personality, the way that you respond to situations, is by perceiving ambiguous stimuli as negative, is by reacting in a particular way, is by behaving in a particular way, being obsequious.
Oh no, really, I'm great. You're so awesome. You did such a good job. Can I do anything else? Can I get you this? Is this okay? Is this okay? Do you love me yet? Do you like me yet? Do you accept me yet? Can I be kinder and kinder and you can accept me more and more?
And when we engage in these interactions, it does not help us. It actually reinforces things because they say, yeah, you are great. But I did all of these 10 things. You asked for ranch dressing. Here's Thousand Island dressing and French dressing. And I know you like your salads this way. So I did this for you and I did this for you and I did this for you. Will you love me and accept me now? And they'll say, yeah, this is great. Thank you so much. You're doing a great job. And we think this helps us. It doesn't help us. Because what did we have to do in order to get that? Now, the actual answer is absolutely nothing. But when we overperform in order to get someone to like us, and we get that positive feedback, what are we reinforcing? Overperformance is the only way that I can get acceptance. And when you have to overperform to get acceptance, you will continue to be socially anxious. Because look, they don't accept me. They accept this pretend version of me. This isn't the real me. This is me doing a lot of extra stuff. And the real me would have gotten rejected, so I have to do all this extra stuff. When you're inducing someone's love, you will never get confidence. So how do you feel relaxed? What's different about your mom and your sister is that you don't have to induce their love to receive it. And that's where the confidence comes from. So if you're someone who's struggling with social anxiety killing your personality, step number one, understand it's not killing your personality, that there are parts of you that are activating, which are activating certain scripts. There's a relaxation script and there's a stress script. They're both part of you. They're both critical for your survival. You can try to activate the relaxation script, but oftentimes there's a reason why we don't do that automatically. So first question you've got to ask yourself is, what makes it hard for me to activate relaxation.exe? Second thing you can do is literally adjust each of those steps. This is so interesting. Very few people train themselves to question their perception. We always talk about training our willpower, training discipline, training emotional regulation. We never talk about training perception. Most of medical school is not about treatment. It is about training your perception. What do you hear when you auscultate? What do you feel when you percuss? When your patient comes in and says, "Oh my God, you're the best psychiatrist on the planet. You're so amazing. I've had 16 psychiatrists before you, but you came along and you're Dr. K and you're amazing. Oh my God, you're the best on the planet. You can save me when no one else can. You're so great, Dr. K." And if I'm not careful and I haven't trained my perception, I'll be like, "Oh yeah, tell me I'm great. Oh my God, tell me about, oh my God, I'm going to be empathic and compassionate. Tell me about all these other psychiatrists that are so bad. Tell me about how they screwed you over. Oh my God, I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to reflect, that's so unfair for you. You're so unfair. You're tragic. Oh my God, such trauma. And everyone in the medical system has screwed you and I'm going to be different. You want me to be your hero? I'll be your hero." Instead, we train our perception, oh shit, this is idealization, this is splitting, this person could have borderline personality disorder. Today, I'm getting the positive side. Soon, I will be number 17 on the list. Train your perception. Recognize that your mind perceives certain things. Specifically with social anxiety, the money is on ambiguous stimuli. When someone doesn't speak with you, when they don't say hi, what's the differential diagnosis? What are the reasons they could not say hi? Have you ever considered that they're socially anxious too? And when they walk in the room, they see you observing them like a hawk. And they're like, "Oh my God, this person is pissed off. They're not smiling at me. I better try to be small because I don't want to piss them off more so they don't say anything to you." Two socially anxious people walk into a room and they walk out each feeling like they're a piece of shit. When they're terrified that the other person doesn't like them, and all they want to do is tell the other person how much they like them, but they're afraid to. Number two, what is your internal reaction? Just because you react away doesn't mean that it is real. Take a deep breath, go for a walk, really think through things. Number three, behave in a way that moves, that makes you live the life that you want to live. Don't behave in a way to try to make them feel a certain way. So when someone comes in and you're afraid that they don't like you, what is the life that you want to live? Do you want to say hi to people who walk into the room? Yes or no? Is that the kind of life that you want to live? Do you want to behave with them in the way that you behave with your mom or your sister? Then behave that way with them. But they may not like it. Absolutely. So then if you get data, right? We want a differential diagnosis for the ambiguous data that they interpret. But here's the cool thing. When people usually don't like you, I know we're sort of living in a world where everyone's ghosting and they don't actually tell you that they don't like you. But here's a key tip. If you're afraid that people don't give you feedback when you do something wrong, the number one reason for that is that they don't think you can accept feedback. "Why didn't you tell me this is coming out of nowhere? I feel like I'm being blindsided." Yeah, the reason you're fucking blindsided is because when I do tell you, you react like this and then you disincentivize me from telling you. People will give you feedback. And the funniest of the version of this is like when people are really anxious, they'll ask for feedback. "Hey, bro, can I have feedback? Am I doing okay? Am I doing okay?" "Yeah, you're doing fine." You know why they tell you you're doing fine and then you end up getting a B or you don't get honors in the rotation? Because every time they tell you you're not doing fine, the anxiety takes over and then they have to deal with that shit for a while. So they can't afford to give you negative feedback, even though you're asking for it. The way you receive feedback determines whether people will give you feedback. And so the cool thing about social anxiety is if you're really bothering someone, they will let you know. If you're socially anxious, what happens is we make ourselves small and then we project their dislike of us to make ourselves smaller. And then we try to disappear and then we end up where our real self doesn't show up. This is real self too, but that other self can show up. You need to behave in that way. What is the way that pay attention to the way that you perceive your mother, the way that you perceive your sister? Pay attention to the way that you react when they do or say certain things towards you. How are those two things different? Take a piece of paper, line down the middle. When mom or sister does this, when people at work do this, right? And there's some modifications that you have to make. Some things are not appropriate. I feel like my real self when I'm with my wife. And when she says, "Hey, Alok, your hair looks great today." And I'm like, "Take me now. Let's go to the bedroom. I'll show you other kinds of hair." That's not something you want to do at work, right? So like, a little bit of a difference there. But like, I think there's There's a big gap between those two things, right? You don't have to like duplicate your at-home self at work, but you also like there's something in the middle there that's pretty healthy. And then when HR calls you in for sexual harassment, you will receive that feedback with grace and aplomb.
Hey, y'all. Hope you enjoyed today's video. We talk about a bunch of topics like this on the channel, so be sure to subscribe for more. If you're already subscribed, GG, and we'll see you in chat.